الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات ربي.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been speaking about the fact that Iman has certain effects and entails with it certain actions. When an individual becomes a mu'min, then there are certain things that he has and acquires and are required of him in order for him to be a mu'min. And we see that iman in Allah and akhirat is not enough. Iman in the Messenger of Allah is also necessary for anyone to have iman in Allah or iman in akhirat. And just like you should have iman in the Messenger of Allah, you must also have iman in the wilayat and the authority that he has announced to us. And without which, our iman is incomplete. This is the reason why we say that Islam, you enter Islam when you say La ilaha illallah and Muhammadan Rasulullah. But iman is not attained until you say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliullah.
Nare Haidri!
And this is the reason why we say the wilayat of Imam Ali, as Allah Himself says in the ayat of the Quran, is not something that Rasulullah, he gave to us, and this was his wish, or this was something that he wanted to do. It is clear that whatever the Messenger of Allah does is what Allah wills. And this is the reason when the announcement also came, it came as an order to Rasulullah and said, Ya ayyuha Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Messenger, you give to the people what has been sent down to you by Allah. And hence this is not something that he is giving himself, but it is something that Allah is saying that he sent down. And this is Allah's will. So we see that if it was not for Ghadir, If it was not for the wilayat of Ali and Ahlul Bayt, we see that the deen is incomplete, as Allah says, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. This day I have completed my religion for you. I mean, the deen is whole only when the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt is in there. So this is something that we know of, and if no one else knows it, at least we should know it, and our children should know this. The fact that if it's not for Ahlul Bayt, if it is not for the imamat of Imam Ali, the deen is incomplete. Islam is incomplete. So until here, we had explained in the last 2 days, and now we see the, as a mu'min who accepts Islam as a whole, what are the requirements for that individual to have? And these, we see that we have already mentioned one of them, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whenever you have an issue amongst you, you make Rasulullah as the judge, and whatever decree he gives you, you accept it wholeheartedly. You accept it in a way that you submit to it with full submission. And this is one of the requirements of a mu'min. We had explained this. The other requirements of a mu'min are all mentioned in one surah of the Quran. We see where Allah lists out all the requirements that are there for a mu'min. And here we see in Surah Gujarat, which is the 49th chapter of the Quran, Allah mentions what are the requirements of a mu'min and what must they do in order to be a mu'min. And there we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that mu'min are only those people, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّا لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. That mu'min are only those people who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and after that they do not have any doubts. They do not entertain any doubts after that. Once they have iman. Once the iman they have, they do not have any doubts. And not only that, وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنْفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They do jihad in Allah's way with their wealth and their lives. So we see that in order for a person to become a mu'min, jihad is required, not just iman itself, not just having an ideology itself, but the ideology must come with jihad. And jihad also Allah has mentioned with two things. Jihad with your wealth and jihad with your lives. And he mentioned these two things, and he mentioned them because of the fact that through these two things it will be known how much of an ideology you really have. Because your ideology cannot be judged by what you say, or what you announce, or what you declare. Your aqidah and ideology must be known by the fact that you do jihad with your wealth and yourselves. Yes. This is what is required of you. You must do jihad in order for your iman to be known, that if you really have iman or not. And when we see these two things, we see that jihad with your life is not all the time. The only time that you are able to go to jihad is if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If he invites you for jihad, then you must go for jihad. If the imam invites you for jihad, then you must go for jihad. Or if the leader of the time, if he tells you to go for jihad, you must go for jihad. Otherwise, jihad with your life is not all the time. It is only when you're invited to it. When you're invited for it. And hence we see that we are not able to prove our iman all the time with this type of jihad. Otherwise, if this was the only jihad Allah had mentioned, then everyone would have said that wait till the imam comes, then we will go and fight. Wait till we're invited, then you will know how much iman I really have. This is the reason why we see that they're all hoping, or they all have this excuse that because jihad is not wajib on us now, So we don't have to go for jihad. Otherwise, we are a mu'min, our iman is such that if we were at the time of Rasulullah, we would have been included in some hadith also. If we were in the time of Rasulullah, he would have said that, yes, this person, he is binna ahl al-bayt. And so obviously what happens is that these individuals, they would have that excuse. And they would say that if it was only this jihad Allah mentioned with your life, then the only place that your iman is able to be examined or tested would be jihad with your life. This is the reason Allah said, no, you have to do jihad with your life and also jihad with your wealth. So now when we see jihad with your life only comes once in a while. But jihad with your wealth comes every year. Jihad with your wealth comes every year. So now, if the imam is not inviting you for jihad, but at least the hukum is there to give khums every year. So now the khums has to be given every year. So whenever that time comes for you to give khums, that is when your iman is being tested. So Allah has put this khums, and He made this khums wajib in order, one of the wisdom behind it is so that your iman can be tested every year whether you have iman or not. Because when you give that khums, when you are able to give that wealth, when you are able to give that money over to Allah and Rasul, then it will be known that you have at least some faith. But if you are not able to give homes every year, if you are not able to give wealth every year, then it will be known that how in the world can you give your life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Hazri.
Because you see, if an individual cannot give his wealth in Allah's way, then how can he give his life in Allah's way? These are just words then. This is the reason Allah said, give khums, so that your iman can be tested. So that your iman is able to be known what your iman is. This is how it's known. And that too, khums is what? And, this is one type of jihad. And the other type of jihad is the jihad with our life. In that jihad, what is Allah asking you for? Allah is asking you for your life. Imagine that. He's asking you for your life. The whole thing. He's asking you for the whole thing. In that jihad. And in this jihad with your wealth, He's not even asking for the whole thing. He's asking for leftovers. Imagine that. He's asking for what? That which you spend, that which you save, that which you don't need, out of that you give one-fifth. Meaning in that jihad, Allah is asking for the whole thing, your whole life. And in this jihad, He's asking for the leftovers of your wealth. And here if we fail every year here, then imagine where our iman lies. And how in the world are we able to go and give our life then? This itself is showing. This is the reason Allah said, iman is not by declaration, it is by jihad with your wealth and your life. This is where iman is. If you want to see that, this is the reason that Allah said, do jihad with your wealth, then you will know your iman. And a lot of times it does happen where we see that a lot of individuals, they ask this question, where did this khums come from? Where did the khums come from? Now that khums, obviously there's an ayat for it. That's there, but historically, for us who are mu'mineen, it is just enough for us to know that when Atimatul Zahra, Salamullah alayha.
Allahumma salam
when she went to give her sermon in the court of the Khalifa. There we see that she asked for three things. She asked for three things. One was her inheritance. She said that everyone who is a child gets inheritance from his or her father. Why is it that I am not getting my inheritance? Allah has declared in the Quran. Two, she asked for the gift that Rasulullah gave her, the atiyah. She said that my father, he left this as a gift for me. This is in actuality a gift. So the rules of inheritance do not even apply there. Two things. And the third thing she asked for the khums from Khaybar. Because the hukum of khums came, the order of khums came from the wars that were fought and whatever was left over in the war. And we see that she asked for the khums that was left over in Khaybar. Because Khaybar, you see, was gained and acquired by and only by Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Hadri.
Ya Ali.
Now she raised these three questions. She asked for these three things, even though she knew she's not going to get any of these. Even though she knew she wasn't going to get any of these, but she wanted to raise this issue amongst the people so that they understand what the issue is. They also know what the issue is. She wanted to raise this so that it should not be said that they never asked for it. So when she raised these three things, now you see the issue that came about, even though she knew she was not able to get it. But at least she showed that the ayat where Allah says that khums is meant for Allah, is meant for the Messenger, and is meant for the near ones. She made the people understand by asking for it that Allah is known, Rasulullah is known. But the issue was, who are the near ones? So she made it clear that by asking for qums and for asking by these things, she made it clear that the idea of Zil Qurba and those who are the near ones are only the Ahlul Bayt and no one else.
Yes.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This is the reason why we see that when she asked for that, it is known that, for example, who are the Zil Qurba? They say, oh, it is your family members. It is your family members, you should give to them. No, when she asked for it, she made it clear there that Zil Qurba are the near ones of Rasulullah, not your near ones. Not your near ones. And also, that this also goes to the other ayat, which also speaks of the love of Ahlul Bayt. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ajr of the Prophet, the reward of the Prophet is what? Do not ask for any reward except the love of the near ones. So this near ones, when you ask our smart ulama of our ummah, they say, these near ones are your relatives. MashaAllah, Allah says, be nice to them. Be good to them. So here the whole idea is that, listen, I'm doing the work. I'm doing the work. I go out 8 to 5 and I do the work. And at the end of the week, it's time for me to get the paycheck. It's time for me to get the paycheck. And you say, no, I have to give it to my relatives. I said, wait a minute. I'm the one who did the work. Why are you giving my paycheck to your relatives?
Yes. Yes.
Why are you giving my paycheck to your relatives? At least if you want to give it to my relatives. I mean, at least give it to my family. Why your family? The whole idea behind it is that Allah is asking for the ajr that Rasulullah has done, the work that he has done. He's asking for a reward for that. So if he has done the work, then the reward of it should go to his family. Why is it going to your family? And this is where she made it clear that this Zil Qurba, and who are these Qurba? This is only the Ahlul Bayt that you can say are the Qurba. And by her asking, she made it clear. So no one has a doubt. It's not your family, but it's Rasulullah's family. Salawat
Allah.
So in other words, what I'm trying to say here, my brothers, is that iman without amal is not iman. This is how Allah is saying it. Iman, you can have a strong iman, and you can have yaqeen, you can have all these things, but if your actions are weak, if your actions are weak, if you don't do the wajibat, if you do not abstain from haram, if you don't obey Allah's law, then your iman is just a declaration. It is just a word on your tongue. It is nothing more than that. Yes. Now when we come over here, a lot of times, you know, when we mention the wajibat and obligations and haram things, and that too, like for example, regarding hijab and beard. So in these aspects, we see that it so happened that one time in a speech that was going on, one of the alims, you know, he was going on about that men should have beards, and Allah, you know, he made it haram to shave, and so on and so forth. And you see one person saying Subhanallah loudly. Yeah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah loudly. Everyone is quiet. Everyone is quiet. No one is saying anything. He is the only one saying Subhanallah. So one of his friends, he went to him and asked him, listen, why are you the only one saying Subhanallah? So he said, you know what? There's an art of listening to a majlis. There's an art of listening to a majlis. When you see the alim, he speaks about anything that has to do with you. So if you say Subhanallah, then others won't look at you, they will look at who is he speaking about. They will look around upward and see, because he's saying, subhanAllah, it mustn't be about him. It must be about someone else. So what happens is that this is also the situation, that when we also speak about wajibat and things that Allah made wajib and haram, we also have this attitude by the people that they hear these things. And a lot of times there is an excuse why Allah gave these two ears. Because a lot of times we see that we say so many things, it goes from one ear and out the other ear. So that's why they said that if Allah wanted us, that whatever, that all the ill that goes in our ear, it should stay inside, He should have given us one ear. But He gave us two ears because He wanted the ill to go from one side and get out the other side. This is the attitude of the people, of those people who call themselves mu'min. They hear what Allah wants from them, they know it, and still it's as if they ignore it. And this is where Allah is saying that iman without amal, without action, without jihad is incomplete. It cannot be called iman. And you heard this a lot of times. I have explained this example to you. But understand it again. When in Uhud, when Rasulullah asked Imam Ali that why didn't you go? He asked about what? He asked about the action of Imam Ali. Why didn't you leave the battlefield with the rest of them? They ran away, why didn't you run away? So this whole idea was about amal, was about action. And Imam Ali said that, do you want me to become an infidel after I became a mu'min? Do you want me to become an infidel after I became a mu'min? The issue that Rasulullah was raised about is about amal. And the answer that Imam Ali is giving is about aqidah, about iman. And he made it clear that iman can never exist if the amal is weak. Yeah. If the amal is weak. And this is the reason Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. He had said, لَيْسَ الْبَيْنِ كُفْرِ وَالْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ. That there is nothing between iman and kufr. Between iman and kufr, the only thing that separates the two is your prayer. That's the only thing that separates it. Between iman and kufr, the only thing that is in between it is the prayer that you do for Allah. If you don't have the prayer, then it goes to kufr. If you have the prayer, then it goes to iman. And inshallah, we will see, not just that you pray. Allah said about a mu'min, we will mention this later also. It is not just that they pray, He says, hafizu lis-salat, that they protect their prayers. They don't just do it, but they protect it. They do it in such a way that it becomes like a protection. They have to protect it in order for it to become like how they want it to be. This, my brothers, the reason is because this is the reason we see our iman can only grow when our amal becomes stronger. If our amal is not strong, if our actions and deeds are not strong, then there is no way that we can say we are mu'min. Otherwise, this is just a declaration that we make. This is something that we say out of our tongues. The only way that we are able to grow is if our amal, if our actions also grow with us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So we see in Surah Hujurat, Allah has mentioned our responsibilities as a mu'min and what is required of us as a mu'min, as a believer. And right now, I will just go into, for example, the responsibilities that we have towards Allah and His Prophet. He divided them. First, Allah and the Messenger, then the other believers, one to another. And first we see, what are the responsibilities that we have towards Allah and His Messenger? And here he says that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا أَيْنَ يَدَيَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ, that all you who believe, do not go ahead of Allah and His Prophet.
Yes, yes, this is right.
This is the first thing that he has mentioned regarding our responsibility as a mu'min, a requirement that we have. Do not go ahead, do not venture ahead of Allah and His Messenger. So those who go ahead of them, then they cannot be called mu'min. Their iman is lacking. That's how we see that if you want to be a mu'min, then you must stay behind them. Whatever Allah says, whatever Rasulullah says, then you are behind what they say. You don't do something that is beyond what they say. So do not go ahead of them. When they are walking, you do not walk ahead of them. You see this, understand this. Neither, and also there's another issue also, that when you, this also extends, not only when they're alive, but when they're dead also. When they're in their grave. When Rasulullah or the Imams are in their grave, even then you cannot go ahead of them and pray. This respect and honor is extended even to their graves. If you go to their grave and if you pray in front of Rasulullah's grave, then it's invalid, it's batil. You must pray behind his grave. Why? Because Allah has said, do not go ahead of him. Do not, this is an honor that he has extended. He said, this is your responsibility as a mu'min. So that you understand that if you are not able to go ahead of his grave, how can you go ahead of him when he's alive? This is the reason why we see that when you go there, you will see that at the time you're in the grave, the way you lie in your grave, you all know that. But those who don't know, you lie in your grave sideways facing the qibla. So either you can pray underneath him, behind him, on the side, but you cannot pray in the front. You cannot pray in the front. And this is the reason why we see that those who go ahead of them, to them, there is an azab from Allah. Those who go ahead of the Prophet. And those who have their back towards the Prophet, to them also, Allah is going to send azab. So now you see, when you look at the way in which respected people were put in their graves around Rasulullah, you will see that one of them is ahead of the Prophet. The other has the back towards the Prophet. So now, if you look at what Allah is saying, and you know that you shouldn't be ahead of the Prophet, and you shouldn't go ahead of the Prophet, it doesn't matter if your grave are next to them, but at least you did not realize that if you are ahead of the Prophet, the only thing you will get is azab, not reward. So inshallah, when you see that, Inshallah, if you go to Hajj or if you go there, you will see the graves and how they are built over there.
No, leave them right there.
And that's why we are not in a hurry to move them also. There's no need to worry about that. Because Allah has said those who go ahead of Rasulullah, they are not mu'min. So at least we know by this, that Iman doesn't exist there. Now, so that this is one of the requirements of a person, that he should not go ahead of Rasulullah. I will come back to this. Now we see the next thing he says. He says, O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. Do not raise your voice. La arfa aswatakum fawqa sawt an-nabi. Do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. And you see that this is not just, for example, at the time you raise it in volume, but when he speaks, you should not speak what he's speaking. You should not speak what he's speaking. Do not raise your voice. When he says something, you listen. Your job is to listen. You are required as a mu'min to listen. And this also you see, that whenever we hear the hadith of Rasulullah, do not try to contradict it with your own hadith. Understand this. Do not try to contradict it with your own hadith. If Rasulullah has said it, and if it is being read out to you, that also is something that you honor in such a way, that you respect it in such a way that you do not contradict it with your own opinion. You see that? This is the next thing. And I'm mentioning this so you can go and you can read the chapter. The next thing he says, that, and do not talk to him like you talk amongst each other. Like how you talk amongst each other, do not talk to him like that. And how do you talk amongst each other? When you say something, and that person says something, let's say there's an issue, and everyone is concerned about adding their two cents in there. So everyone wants to say something. Everyone wants to say something. But you see, that if Rasulullah is amongst you, then there your opinion does not count. Do not try to say anything to him. Do not talk to him as if he is someone else that you are giving your opinion to try to prove to him. Because at least understand this much, that it is Allah who sent him. If Allah sent him, he did not arrive here to raise issues or doubts. He came here to clear issues, and he came here to clear the doubts. Because if Allah sent them, he didn't, he's not here to raise doubts amongst you. He is here to create certainty amongst you. That's what he is there for. Do not try to argue with him, or do not try to be with him like you will do with others. Now if you do these things, what will happen? What will happen? He says that the thing that will happen to you if you raise your voice with the Prophet, if you talk to him like you talk to everyone else, the way it will happen is that you, an ahbata amalakum wa antum la tashkurun, your actions and your deeds will become nullified without you knowing it. Without you knowing it, it will be nullified. Meaning you think that you are good. You think you are a mu'min. You have hope, inshallah, I will get those 72. And all those hopes that you have, but what happens? Because you raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet, because you gave your own opinion above the opinion of the Prophet, when he said something is halal, you made it haram. When he said something is haram, you made it halal. So now what happens is that when you made his haram into halal and his halal into haram, now the issue is you raise this voice. You think you are a mu'min. You think you are going to heaven. But don't you understand Allah is saying, Allah is going to nullify your actions without you even knowing it. See that? Without you even knowing it. This is the reason those who said that muta which is halal in the time of the Prophet, I am making it haram. I am making it haram. So that person now, even though he thinks he is the leader of the Muslims, that he will be rewarded with heaven, but Allah is saying that his actions are useless because he raised his voice above the voice of the Prophet.
Yes.
Understand this. He raised his voice above the voice of the Prophet. That will nullify your action when you don't even know about it. See how Allah is saying this. A lot of times we see that we know when we did something wrong. For example, did ghibat. Ghibat destroys our actions. And inshallah, that also we will have. Right? In the same chapter, Allah has mentioned that also. That also we will have. There are certain actions that you do that destroys your own actions. That destroys your own good deeds. So now what happens, at least you know when you did it, that you're destroying your actions. But this is something that you do, that without you even knowing it, it destroys your own actions. It will destroy your own deeds. It will end your own akhirat. And you think that you're going to heaven. You think that you're a Muslim. You think you're a mu'min. But because you have raised your voice above the voice of the Prophet, you gave your opinion when Rasulullah gave his decree, you have destroyed your own akhirat. You see, and this also, not then also, this is also even until now. Even until now we see there are people, when we explain to them about obligations and say hijab, they say, you know, in those days it was alright. Yes. In those days it was alright. Nowadays things are different. Nowadays things are different. So now what happens? Right now what's happening? What is he doing? What is he doing? Rasulullah said something. Allah said something. And he is coming and saying, no, they didn't know what would happen. And hence what we are saying now is true to our times. According to our times, this is right. And there are many groups, especially amongst the youth who are being raised here, they also think in this way, that yes, nowadays we have to have Islam according to the modern times. According to the modern times. And this is something that we must understand. Islam came for insan. Islam came so that insan can become mu'min. If you have ceased to be insan, then let us know. If you have changed from insan to something else, let us know. If you have another eye or another brain, let us know. If you have some other external outgrowths in you that makes you different from being a human being, let us know. Then at least we will know Islam doesn't apply to you. But if you are the same human being, if you are the same human being, then the laws that came were meant for insan to have iman. That's the whole idea behind Islam. Allah says insan is in loss. So insan is going to fail. And the only way for him is to get Islam so that he can acquire iman and become a mu'min. That is why Islam came. This is the reason those people who think that we are insan, if you accept the fact that you're insan, that Islam is for you. Whatever Allah and His Rasul have said is for you, no matter what time you live in. Yes. And the day you cease to be insan, let us know. For them Allah has already said, for insan the only way to become a higher entity like an angel is through Islam. But there are other things you can become also from insan. Allah also said that either there is the animal kingdom or something lower than that.
Yes.
something lower than that. If you have become lower than that, we know where you're going. We know where you're going. So my brothers and sisters, we must understand that Islam, when we see Iman, Iman without Amal, without actions is useless. It is not Iman. And Amal also, if you do Amal without having ideology and Iman, that is also useless. So both of these things, they complement one another. They grow with each other. Your Iman grows with your Amal and your Amal grows with your Iman. This is the right way that we grow. And inshallah, I will explain more about this, about what are our responsibilities towards one another, inshallah, from tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance, to hasten the reappearance of our Imam, to make us His helper when He comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سلامات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد